Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the NYBS Radio Show, home of the New York Bigfoot Society.
New York Bigfoot Society style. I got my partner over here, Kenny Irish. What's up, Kenny?
Hey, Gary.
How you doing? Yo, I love the Savannah monitor. I freaking love it. I used to have one back in the day. Love it.
Yeah. She's a good girl, you know. She's a little champ sighting. She's getting huge, though. I mean, just look at her body, how fat she is. She's adorable.
I love it. So what's new? What's going on in the world of Bigfoot books, authors, all that fun stuff?
Just the usual. We're just selling a lot of books. A lot of people are interested. They're writing back to me and letting me know, that they really enjoyed it, what they liked about it. So it's been really good. I've been running a T-shirt and book promotion. If you buy both, you get $5 off the total price, and that's why I've been selling a lot of those. And getting a lot of really, really good feedback on the book and the shirts and things are going good. The publisher yesterday informed me that August I'll be the author of the month for the publishing company, so I'll be the featured author, so I'm pretty excited about that. So definitely looking forward to that and seeing that. There's multiple ways you can get my books. You can reach out to me directly, or you can go on Amazon. They are in a few select locations. There's some more books going out this week to a few different bookstores. So it's doing really well. I'm getting really good feedback on it. If anybody's bought the book and they want to go on to Amazon and give me a review, definitely go on there and do that, review the book, and I definitely appreciate that. Other than that, it's been business as usual. I started Folklore Frankenstein 2, International Lore, and just excited to get that rolling. I won't be out until 2021, but it's still it's real to me right now, considering I'm writing it. So
that's awesome. No, that's awesome, and congratulations, man. Congratulations on being author of the month. That's super cool. You know, it's a big accomplishment. It definitely is. I mean, all the hard work, and you pour your heart out in writing these books and things like that. I wish I had the attention span to even write a page. But it's awesome. You know, you put your heart out. So it's awesome that your work is, you know, getting out there, getting into the community, getting into the right hands of the people. And, you know, people are enjoying it. So that's all that really matters, man.
I'm just supporting everybody, being nice to everybody, and, you know, not having an ego. And, you know, if you make more friends that way, and more people want to support you. And, you know, I'm supporting other authors, other, you know, explorer researchers. So it's been good. I've been, you know, I'm definitely blessed. But, you know, I tell people, you know, if you want to be blessed too, you know, just be a supporter, not a, you know, not a taker. So,
yeah,
it'll all go good.
Yeah, no, most definitely. And like you're saying, it's awesome just watching your success, you know, from a field researcher standpoint, you know. So, I am super stoked for this show. Like, everybody, this is awesome. So today we're talking about different cryptids, different monsters. You know, we always talk about Bigfoot and all of our adventures out in the New York wilderness. We're going to be talking about a different monster, and Kenny's going to be talking about that. I'm going to be talking about missing persons report in the Adirondacks. You know, there's so many people that go missing all around the country, and now right in our backyard, there's so many different stories of people going missing in the wilderness, and they're never seen again. And, you know, I think it's super important to talk about because, you know, once again, we are in the woods. We are always out doing the work. We are off the beaten path. You know, we're experienced, you know, woodsmen and woodswomen, and even though we have the experience of the forest, you just never know what will happen. And I always talk about safety nonstop here. And this is a prime example of, you know, why even though you have the skills and thinking that, you know, the know-abouts of the woods, you still may not come out of the woods. You just may never be found. Your body may never be found. So I'm going to be talking about that the second half of the show, about, you know, a story of a missing person that was just never found again. And he was an outdoorsman. So these stories happen, and, you know, it's sad, but they need to be talked about. So, Kenny, let's get right into it. So what monster and cryptid are we going to be talking about today?
Well, the one that I'm going to be talking about, first I want to introduce Sweetie here to everybody. She's my little cryptid buddy. She's a Savannah monitor. She's also, you know, if anybody needs a champ sighting, she looks like a champ, just without fins. Although, you know, many have seen champ on land. But overall, she's a good girl, and so she's gonna assist me today. But, you know, a lot of people see me, you know, as like a Bigfoot guy, but in reality, I really study all the cryptids. You know, the new book that I'm writing, Book of Frankenstein 2, is going to be focusing on, you know, international, different cryptids. And so one that I've been focusing on that, you know, I'm not going to give a lot of detail on it. I'm just going to, you know, kind of give a little bit of detail on it. But, you know, definitely check it out. It's located in Algeria, in the northern end of North Africa. It's called the Groot Flang. I believe I'm saying that correctly. I haven't had anybody correct me yet, but it's really a creature cryptid that they say like lives in like caves. It was originally brought down by, you know, different gods, and it's like a cross between a large snake and an elephant, which is crazy to even think about that for a second. But they also say that's where elephants and snakes came across, that it was so fierce that, you know, the gods ended up pulling it apart, and that's how we ended up getting snakes, and that's how we ended up getting elephants. But apparently it's the cryptid is all completely black. It lives in caves, and it pulls people into the caves, it eats them. So it's part of the Algerian lore. So it's what I like about it is it's so completely different from, you know, what we normally talk about. You know, we normally, you know, we'll talk about Dogman, we'll talk about Bigfoot, you know, we'll talk about, you know, the well-known cryptids. But this was really just, you know, even though there's only been a few sightings, it was, you know, a couple hundred years ago, it's still just the lore and the legend behind it is really neat. I mean, they say that the creature is anywhere between picture, you know, an elephant with like a serpent type of a snake head and tail coming off of it. But again, there's so many different cryptids out there that, you know, when you start looking into it, your mind just gets blown. And the fact that there's actually recorded sightings of this cryptid, it leads me to believe that there's some truth to it. Maybe not necessarily a cross between an elephant and a snake. Maybe it's more of like a sea serpent type of animal that ended up getting adapting and being able to move on land that was very serpent-like. And that's where they get the snake portion of it. But, there's still a lot of mystery behind it, a lot of lore. So I've been looking into that. That's going to be in one of the countries that I covered when Folklore Frankenstein completed. So that's Algeria. The native language there is Arabic. So it's really cool. You know, if you guys get an opportunity to look at cryptids outside of the United States that aren't related to Bigfoot or anything like that, it's just that it's very, if anything, it's very entertaining to hear, you know, the sightings and what folks have seen. One gentleman, I can't remember the gentleman's name. I'd have to look it up again, but he supposedly saw a branch off of it after it was split, and the snake portion was, in his witness, about 100 feet long. I can't even imagine that. So, but at the same time, I'm not going to say the guy didn't see what he saw. But again, you know, to have something that's so rare and so off the wall, is, you know, we've gotten so comfortable with Sasquatch and Bigfoot and Dogman that when we see pictures, we hear descriptions, it's just normal for us. You know, we don't really think twice about it. But then when you start looking at a cryptid again, that's like a cross between like an elephant and a snake. It's really entertaining. And, again, the lore behind it, the legend behind it is really fascinating. So I highly recommend anybody who, you know, loves cryptids, start looking, you know, internationally at the different cryptids and the different lores and legends, and you'll be doing entertained for years. And, jump right into it. You'll really enjoy it.
Yeah, no, that's so cool because, like you say, like, we don't really, you know, look across the pond in other areas. Like, you do hear, you know, when you're watching a TV show, they may hit on some of these weird cryptids and animals and, you know, possibly beasts that are across the pond from us. But, you know, when we stay here in America, we have so many cryptids of our own that, like you said, Bigfoot's mainstream now. I mean, everybody knows Bigfoot. You know, companies use Bigfoot as their slogan. It's one of the most used slogans. Actually, right in my town, right outside in Delmar, New York, there's a Bigfoot massage studio. Like, you go by.
I see that. I've seen it. It's right on that corner.
Right on the corner. Yeah. Right on the corner. And, you know, all of a sudden, I'm like, a Bigfoot massage parlor. Look at that. But Bigfoot is just, it's so mainstream. You know what I mean? And, you know, there's so many other monsters. Actually, recently, once again, you know, in the past, I've gone down to the New Jersey Pine Barrens. I've put a lot of, you know, New Jersey Devil research up on the page in the past. In the past couple of days, you know, I've been, you know, bouncing ideas off of Kenny. Like, you know, I do like other cryptids. I like certain ones. And, you know, I've been looking back into the Jersey Devil. So more than likely, expect a Jersey Devil trip to be coming up on one of these shows because, you know, I'm getting eager to, you know, take the mountain bikes and get back into the Pine Barrens and, you know, go explore because the Pine Barrens are such an amazing area in itself. And actually, you know, I've been doing a lot of research the past 3 days on the Jersey Devil, things I haven't even known. And I'm not going to get in depth into it because we could just save that for a whole other show in itself. But one of the things I do plan on hopefully next month is to get down to Jersey, plan a day, grab the bikes and start exploring. Once again, Jersey, also, if you look into the Pine Barrens, tons of Bigfoot reports coming out of the Pine Barrens. Tons. And once again, you know, I like to keep it squatchy at all points in time, you know, so, you know, I'm going to try to kill two birds with one stone here and look into the Jersey Devil and look into the Bigfoot reports from the Pine Barrens. And what we hear about the Bigfoot of the Pine Barrens is a little bit smaller than the Bigfoot here in upstate New York. So, you know, it's once again super interesting. You know, I try to keep things as splotchy as possible. Will, thank you so much. You know, we enjoy your support, you know. And, you know, we try to bring the facts to you. And with Kenny's knowledge of different cryptids, it's important for us to get out there and start talking about these different monsters. You know, we have the local ones, Champ and Dogman, you know, Jersey Devil. I'm starting to have a whole different look on the Jersey Devil as of lately, but a lot of things I've been reading, you know, it's a super interesting subject. And I mean, come on, New Jersey actually has their own demon. I mean, that's, they classify it as their own state demon. How awesome is that? So, I mean, you can't go wrong with that. So yeah, I'm hoping to get down there. So yeah, cool. I mean, that's super cool, Ken. Like, I mean, I can't even imagine something, do they say the size of an elephant with a serpent-like head and long tail. It's almost like an oversized anaconda, almost like your Savannah monitor right there, and it's nice,
yeah.
Chunky belly. You know what I mean?
She's way oversized.
Dude, my Savannah was never that size. I'm just saying that. It was never that size.
Well, she just, you know, she's not a runner. You know, she just likes to cuddle. Like, my daughter will take her to bed at night, and she'll just sleep with her the whole night, and she's just a good girl.
No, that's amazing. You know, lizards are great. They're great pets. They really are. They, you know, and they have emotions and feelings just like humans. Once you get to know them, you know, and you're feeding your bearded dragons and things like that. I've had so many different, you know, reptiles. You know, I used to actually do a lot of turtles back in the day. But, you know, my iguana that I had that lived a very long life, I mean, that thing had feelings. It really did. It would also whip the crap out of me with its tail, which, you know, did not feel good. But anyway, so, all right. So, Footer Nation, we're going to get right into missing persons reports. Now, if anybody's watched the new 411, The Hunted, it's a great documentary. It's up on Amazon Prime. I highly recommend it. Normally, I do not recommend documentaries. I am not that person, unless you're watching mine, of course, America's Book of Secrets or Sasquatch Planet. Just kidding. But anyway, you know, a lot of the documentaries I watch and I just kind of can't get into. The missing 411, though, I definitely get into. Definitely get into them because it's real life, okay? Yeah, it is. Like, one of the best species to keep as pets is reptilians. I agree, you know, and Kenny can agree. He has one on his lap. But, yeah, so what's up, Ed? We miss you, brother. Welcome back from, you know, Washington State, man. I can't wait to hear your stories. But going into the missing people, you know, what's really interesting for me personally, as a mountaineer and an outdoors person, you know, as a lot of you know, I do mountaineering. I do all this crazy stuff in the forest, not just go hiking and, you know, we do rock climbing and all this stuff. As we're in the forest, if you really don't think about that, you may not come back out of the woods. Now, on this show, you've heard me in the past 3 seasons talk about, when we go into the woods, we may not come back out. And I always plan for that. I really do. I'm not talking BS. I honestly plan on the 1% possibility that I may not come back. Maybe I come across a Squatch that's angry. Once again, maybe I come across a mountain lion. Maybe I come across a bear. On last show, you heard me talk about these bears. Bears are no longer really scared of people like they used to be. What's up, Crystal? Thanks for returning back from last week. And, you know, they're not as scared as people as they used to be. We do not know what may happen when we're in the forest. Missing 401, they talk about this. People going magically missing in national parks throughout the country. David Pilates talks a lot about the subjects, and he studied them, and he studied the cases. One that's really interested me as of lately is the Tom Mezick case, okay? Tom Mezick was an 82-year-old war vet from the United States Army paratrooper, right? So you're talking about a very trained individual in the field of survival. He also taught survival classes and hunting education. So you have an outdoorsman who is very versed in all this stuff. Now, what really hits home with me, Tom is from Troy, New York, okay? So it's right next door. You know, I'm from Albany, New York, so Troy, New York is 10 minutes from me, the next city over. Now, he went out hunting with his family and friends, a group of 6 people, up in Brant Lake, New York, okay? Brant Lake, New York, once again, is in the Lake George Wild Forest area, okay? the town of Bryant Lake is a hamlet of Horicon, the Horicon town of Horicon, the area up there. The population of it is about 1,349. You're talking about a very small population of people, mountain people, all right? It's right outside of Ticonderoga, right in the northern part of Lake George, and north of the village of Lake George itself, all right? I've been past Bryant Lake many a time. Bryant Lake is famous, okay? It's a very famous hunting and fishing area. Theodore Roosevelt, he once again, used to go up there and hunt the lands and fish the lands. And Theodore Roosevelt is my favorite president. Not going to lie, I'll support. He's once again, very environmental president. So I look at that. He's the father of the national park system. But he would go up there. Now, up in Bryant Lake itself, there's a camp called Bryant Lake Camp. It's a boys' camp. It's been around since 1917 is when it was incorporated. It's 100 years old and going, and it's still going now. When you drive past it, you can see there's always cars all over the place, and they're still acting as a boys' camp, all right? So in this little area, Tom Mezick, you know, and his family had a hunting camp, and he went up in the fall, okay? It was November 15th, 2015. We're only looking about 5 years ago, so this is a very recent case. And he went up with his son and five other guys, and they went up into the Lily Pond area, which is right outside of Bryant Lake, south of Bryant Lake itself. And once again, what they were doing is what's called driving deer, okay? So anybody that's a hunter, I'm a bow hunter, we shack up in trees, and we kind of just wait for things to come to us. When you drive deer as a gun hunter, what happens is you make a vertical line across of people. The other people come up the backside of them, and they push anything, deer, whatever, through the woods to that line of hunters. Now, what they personally did was take the older people of the group and shack them up along the road. Okay, so they were only about 30 yards from the dirt road itself. So it wasn't like they were like kind of like when, you know, I go bushwhacking and I'm like a couple miles up in the middle of Nowheresville, right? They were along the road. So they weren't that far in. The young guys came up through the backside, took the trail up around Lily Pond itself, came up the trail, and then started bushwhacking and driving toward the hunters that were all lined up. Long story short, they got there at 10 a.m., all right? That was the last they saw of Tom Mezick. Now, Tom was located on the very far side, the very outside of that vertical line. According to the reports, they were only about 30 to 40 yards apart from each other. So when you kind of put that math together, they weren't far apart whatsoever, all right? Well, when the hunting night got over, they had, as hunters, as we know, when you're in groups, you have an agreed area that you're going to meet up. Well, Tom never returned. He never met up. They called forest rangers around 4:30 in the afternoon on November 15th. They showed up. They looked until 7 p.m., nothing found. Now, this is what's interesting to me. His gun wasn't found. His snacks wasn't found. Nothing. You're talking about an older man. Yes, he's older. We can get into that. But he's a trained survivalist. He's an ex-Army paratrooper. They're trained in survival. The guy teaches hunting courses, all right? Now, he did have some disabilities. He did lose one of his eyes by an explosive device, all right? But a report said that even though he lost an eye, it didn't slow him down. And I can honestly, you know, you kind of you become accustomed to those things. So it didn't slow him down. Because he was older, he did have hearing problems. But that is still not explaining to me, he's just sitting in one spot. When you drive deer, you sit in one spot as a watcher. You don't move. He was trained. He's not going to move. He's an older individual. And like I say, they didn't have far to go. So that is once again, very interesting. 7 o'clock hits, it's dark. So half of the group stayed, his son and a couple other guys, and they started shooting off rounds in the air, started, you know, going up and down the road, honking the horn, flashing the lights, and guess what? Tom still was not found. They didn't find anything. So now it gets super interesting, all right? The next day, they had 13 SAR teams come in. If you didn't know what SAR stands for, search and rescue, okay? So they had 13 SAR teams come in, 15 different agencies. Now, this was a massive search of over 300 people, including more volunteers. They brought dogs in, okay? They brought helicopters in, state police helicopters. They scoured this four-mile area, okay, of where these hunters were. Now, let's be honest, all right? People that go hiking, raise your hand, me and other people. When you go in the woods, all right, and we're camping and we're doing those kind of things, we don't go far in our area. You have an 82-year-old man that, guess what, he's not hiking 7, 8, 9 miles. It's not happening. 5 miles in the woods of the backcountry, guess what, that's a lot of miles, all right? For all my friends and people here that hike the bushwhack, you know when you start bushwhacking the woods, a good couple miles is a long way to go, especially in the woods, right? I mean, that's the way it is. So he isn't going far. I mean, let's be honest, he's not going far. He still was not found. Now, this is where it gets really interesting for me, and this is why I'm very interested in this case, all right, and I'm talking about it. Now, the FBI got involved. Now, the FBI does not get involved in missing person cases like this. It's such a rarity for the FBI to get called in about someone that's gone missing in the forest, in the wilderness. That stays within the D.C. Forest Rangers, search and rescue team, and state police that normally will get involved. The D.C. has their own, you know, department for this. So there's no reason for the FBI whatsoever to get involved. What they said to Tom's wife upon, you know, searching is, this whole case does not make sense. Nothing about this case makes sense, all right? Foul play wasn't a part of this case. They determined that there was no foul play. So that's the first thing. Plus, he's with a group of people that were his friends and family, all right? So these are well-known people. The only thing that his wife kind of came up with going down the road was maybe an ATV or a person on a quad had an accident with Tom, possibly, and then they felt bad, and then they took his body out because they didn't want the evidence. But now let's go back and listen to this. You would hear an ATV plowing through the woods, all right, first off. Any of those hunters that were near Tom, you're talking 30 yards, hypothetically, let's even say 50 yards away from him, you're going to hear that, okay? You're going to hear an ATV coming through the woods. Think, right, Kenny? I mean, well, let me think about it, Kenny. When I bring you in the woods to go Bigfooting, right, you hear these sounds, like the littlest sound, you hear it, right? Like the littlest thing, the littlest thing. I mean, even the trees that blow in the wind and creak, you hear that little pop. So if you hear that little pop, you would hear a quad coming flying down the road. I mean, that's just
Well, not only that, too. I mean, they're purposely sitting there watching, waiting, and listening.
Yeah.
You know, nothing's going to get by them that would be out of the usual.
No, man, not at all. So you have this guy going missing, but going missing to the point where it's almost like he vanished. Now, that's what's weird. And to me, that's what's weird that the FBI got involved. It has been stated now that the FBI would only get involved in these cases if or when there was other cases like this happening. There has to be a pattern, all right? There was a report that came out that there was some sort of pattern, quote, unquote, of this happening in this area. So if that is the case, then I can understand why they would be getting involved, all right? There is another story that I'm not going to get into of a missing person 40 miles away, 30, 40 miles away, that I think it was like 5 days later that the same thing happened. He went missing, went vanished. The guy was, once again, an older gentleman, vanished. And we could talk about that another time. But the next day, the SARS teams came in. You had 13 SARS teams, you know, 15 agencies coming in to find the guy, and they can't. To this day, it's a classified case, though. They are still going in. In 2018, the summer of 2018, they brought in cadaver dogs. Okay, state police brought in cadaver dogs and once again scoured the area, thinking that, you know, the dogs would pick it up. Now, the interesting, you know, once again, the dogs never, they lost Tom's, you know, trace. Even the day that he went missing, when they brought the dogs in, the dogs couldn't track him. Now, that's, once again, strange in itself, okay? Second, no rifle, no anything. So if something, you know, grabbed him and he struggled, there's going to be a wrapper. He had snacks. He had those kind of things. Something. You would see a struggle. Nothing. Nothing at all.
I saw, too, because I'm sure being the trained professional that he was,
yeah,
you know, something over grabs him, you know, potentially, you know, that and I'm saying like this human-like, you know, you know, I mean, you're going to hear yelling, you're going to hear something, you're going to hear a gunshot.
Yeah.
You know, so if something grabbed him and dragged him off, I mean, it had to have been something, you know, that was able to take this trained militant out.
Yeah, you know, even though he's older and things like that, like you said, the main thing I would say is he had a firearm. So if he was in danger, all he would have to do is discharge the firearm. Done story. And that's actually part of survival training. As a hunter myself and, you know, a gun hunter, if you do have some kind of problem in the woods, you discharge a couple shells in the air, okay, to let people know where you are. So that's what's really strange is that no gun got discharged whatsoever. No remains were found, nothing. It's almost like he was plucked out and vanished off the face of the planet. So in a case like this, you're kind of left with, and then the FBI gets involved, and you're kind of like, what could possibly happen? Now, this is what's interesting also. One of the people in his hunting party who was a trained hunter, he's been in the woods, he's very experienced, and these are all very experienced wood people. You're talking about people that have been in the woods hunting for their whole life, basically. He heard a very strange noise in the woods. He never heard this noise before. He said it was a couple seconds, between 3 to 5 seconds, all right? And all of a sudden, he heard what he can't even place what the noise was. Upon when he was, you know, giving the interview and they kept asking, what was the noise you heard? He's like, I don't know. I can't. He goes, all I know is I've never heard this strange noise, and he can't place it. Now, the noise that he did hear was 150 yards, he says, in front of him, all right, up on top of a hill. Because once again, there was a hill in front of them. They were trying to push the deer over the hill down in the gully area, which would be good pickings for anything like that. Which makes it strange to me is now if we put this, I'm not saying it's a Bigfoot, so I'm not saying that. But when we look at cryptids, monsters, Bigfoot, what is one of the first things that we say, and especially you hear me talk about it a lot, Squatches stay up in the high grounds and look down on us. Anything in the high grounds is safer, all right, because they have the advantage. So if they did hear a strange noise coming up from above them in a hill-type area, going up a hill, I'm not at all saying it's a Bigfoot, so don't you know, misinterpret what I'm saying. But anything that was up in the high ground would be looking down, would feel like they're safer. But to have a person magically vanish, you're talking something that's, now you get into the weird aspects of interdimensional travel, possibly the portals that we talk about, like, you know, we hear about in the field of paranormal, extraterrestrial, Bigfoot. You get into these weird areas that, once again, I don't really touch them. You know, even as a paranormal researcher, you know, Tri-State New York Paranormal Society behind me, you get into these things that you hear about portals and things like that. To me, in a case like this, if you're talking supernatural, that's the only thing that a wormhole-type situation would only make sense to me, because he vanished. He legit vanished and never was found again. But once again, I mean, I'm not saying that's what happened. But we do hear these stories of people vanishing in the woods. And when you're in the woods, we don't know if there is some types of portals, wormholes, some kind of weird things. We saw that, you know, the lights in the woods. You and I had that experience, you know, in the woods, seeing, you know, I call them paralights because we see them often doing paranormal research, and we call them para fairy lights and things like that. But you have these weird things that happen in the forest. And Angela, there was another man also 40 miles away. The same exact thing happened where the guy vanished. Nothing was, and he's an avid hunter. Avid outdoorsman, an older gentleman, very knowledgeable, you know, and these people vanish off the face of the planet. Devin, if there was a struggle, you would have heard a shot fired. You would have seen something. So even if there was a struggle, the area where he was, there would have been a struggle. You would have all the leaves would have been kicked up. You would have seen a struggle. The dogs would have picked that up. You know, and then Will, you know, highs and ridges and gullies, you know, was there caves and holes in the ground? I don't know that because I don't know the area. What I do know just from the story that they're saying is there was a hill on top of them. So think of a hill area, and then you're coming down the hill, and that's how I'm picturing it, coming down a hill area, and then you have like a gully type, gully environment. One of our research areas is exactly that way. We actually go up the hill, which it sucks. It sucks. But once again, it's like it's a high ground and the low ground type situation. We're left with we just don't know what happened to, you know, Tom.
Did the dogs actually have any scent at all?
Nope.
Or was it nothing?
Nothing. So what happened from the story was that the dogs tracked to his spot, which was legit 30 yards from the road. So you're talking a dirt road, okay, an access road. And so 30 yards, about 30 yards in that, so, and, you know, that's what they're saying, 30, we'll say 30 to 50 for, you know, shits and giggles. Nothing. Like, they tracked it to where he was, and then there's nothing left. All right? So to have that, yes, and I think it is the Chestertown area. That's exactly, we're talking about the same person, Angela. They just disappeared with not a trace. So we're kind of left with, you know, and these are stories not just in, you know, New York, throughout the whole country. Throughout the whole country, people are vanishing. Now, in some cases, their bodies are found in great places that it's impossible to access. There's no way they could get there. Sometimes they're naked with no clothes on, like, but in their clothes, their backpacks, gear are all missing. In this case, any swamp water where scent is not detected. No, this was just woods. So the closest would be Lily Pond itself, but where they were hunting was up from Lily Pond. So it's all dry vegetation. So the dogs went through the woods. I guess they were able to track to where he was because they knew where he was as far as the vertical line of the watchers, and then it stopped there. So even if there was a swamp nearby, Will, the dogs would be able to pick up his scent where he was, say, to almost the swamp. You know what I mean?
Right.
Or something like that. And then they would lose it. But there was nothing. So it's almost like he magically got picked out of the world, out of the atmosphere. Like, he just vanished. Like someone took an eraser and erased him. Done. The reason it kind of hit home with me, like I say, this specific case is because the guy was from Troy, New York. Like, he's right next door. So you're talking people in our own backyard, basically, neighbors, city neighbors, and then, you know, avid outdoorsmen going off for a hunting trip on a weekend, I think it was, with his family up to their camp. And then even with six people present, he disappeared. So, I mean, this people and friends and everybody out there, I say this all the time. This could happen to any of us. Like, in any of us outdoors people, this can happen. This is a real thing. This isn't Mr. Rogers' land of make-believe where you go into, you know, on the trolley and go out into the woods, you know what I mean? And you go with all the magical fairies and trolls. This isn't make-believe. This is real. This is a real documented story by the FBI, by the New York State DC, by these things. So we need to always be vigilant when we're in the woods. And that's kind of what I'm going to leave it. And you're talking about, you know, they were up at Brant Lake, a little population of 1,400 people. You know, you're a little hamlet of the Adirondack State Park. You know, and that is the Adirondack. Once again, we're still in the Adirondack State Park. You know, that's my stomping grounds. As you know, I'm always up there. So this is kind of, you know, nerve-wracking stuff. Joe, and, you know, every time we go in the woods, there's always that 1% chance, that 1%. And, you know, once again, I'm not saying it's a Bigfoot, but maybe it could be. Maybe. I mean, we don't know. The theories and possibilities of what something like this could be are extended. I mean, you're talking about every single theory is open for suggestion, in my opinion. And that's just my opinion. My opinion means nothing in the world. But you're talking about a lot of different things. So
there's no actual logic to back it up.
No.
It's wide open.
Correct. And you know, and as Twitter Nation, as you know, Kenny and I are very logical people. We stay super logical. We have no problem saying, I don't know. And I'm just reading Will. Many times hunters get impatient. Yeah, and you know what, Will? And honestly, I agree with you 100%. This specific individual, though, he wouldn't do that, and everybody backed that up as their claim, saying he wasn't like that whatsoever. Even his wife backed it up. Like, this guy, he would stay put. He was he was very lucky that day to go in the woods, because I guess he was recovering from shingles. He had shingles right before this happened, okay? He wasn't even going to go on this trip, but he was blessed to go out into the woods. And like I say, he was at the end of his time, I guess, you know, he felt maybe, I don't know, and wanted to get one more big adventure out there. And he was feeling really good that day, they say. He was happy and good spirits, and he just sat there. He taught hunter safety. So a person that taught hunter safety, and he taught survivalist classes, and was a paratrooper, I would say, you know, because of those, he has those certificates and certifications and that behind him. He would know better. The guy would know better.
Yeah, it was the fact that, you know, he's military, too. I mean, you know, when you're military, you know, you don't just take off. You let people know where you are, what you're doing. You know, there's protocol. And, you know, he sounds like, you know, the type of individual that would follow whatever that protocol is. You know, like I said, you know, with some of the missing cases, you know, Maybe somebody wants to disappear, you know. But this is, I mean, an older gentleman. I mean, you know, I don't understand what his reasons would be to even try to leave it at this point in his life. And again, I mean, you know, if you're one person, you know, two people, you know, you come across something scary, which is, you know, we always say the scariest thing in the forest, in the woods, it is other people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he had a gun, he had other people near him that, you know, they were all armed, plus other people coming towards them armed. So even if you came across something in the woods that you'd seen something that you shouldn't have seen, man, they'd be right there. I mean, you know, everybody that was there with him. So I don't know, this one definitely baffles me.
Yeah, and that's why I brought it to the show, because, you know, sometimes, like, you know, like kind of like what you say, like sometimes they could just get into a bad situation out in the woods. Like you say, humans are scary. You never know who you're going to meet in the woods, you know what I mean? And, you know, things like that. So you just don't know. But when you just vanish and go missing, if someone came down that dirt road, guess what? You're hearing them come down that dirt road. I mean, that's just fact. I mean, in this one where someone's just plucked out of the woods. The guy was plucked out of the woods, gone missing, and now we're just left with, you know, it's an unsolved mystery. I feel like we should have the Unsolved Mysteries 80s version music going right now, you know what I mean? That used to freak me out. Oh, my God, growing up, that used to freak me out, that music. I'm like, and I would not sleep at night. They're like, yo, all these people go missing.
Yeah, when he would start talking and the show would start, man, I was just like, I was pulled right in.
Oh, man, I know. You know, and this is, but here's these mysteries of people gone missing, and you know, I got a lot of them to talk about. So, you know, up on upcoming shows, we're going to be talking about these different subjects along with some Bigfoot stuff. We are out in the field. We're giving recap before we leave here. We are out in the field right now. We're doing some research on some private property. All right, I can't really talk about what's going on, but like I can say is that we are out in the field. We are out in western New York right now, okay? We are still in the Adirondacks, so I'm still in those areas, you know, monitoring what's going on. I will be getting back out. I wanted to get out this week, but work got me tired. I was working so hard this week that I couldn't even get off the couch to get into the woods, honestly. That's just honest. So I wanted to get some work in, and I got lazy. But, you know, next week I do plan on getting out into the woods and getting more stuff just to see what's going on. You know, in the summertime, it usually slows down for us. But we are monitoring certain areas. We do have stuff up to monitor. I have brand new things and ideas to employ into the woods now, and I can't wait to bring Kenny out to, you know, give him a taste of these new ideas that I have. And, you know, it's a fresh new take, a very fresh modern-day take on this stuff. So we'll be bringing the information to you as we always do. We have some radio shows coming up. Kenny, you want to just give the big shout-out radio before we get out of here?
Yeah, tomorrow night, Gary and I are going to be guests on Paranormal Warehouse with Emily Menshouse, and then what is it, August 4th, I'm going to be on with Mike and unfortunately, I can't remember the lady host's name, but it's Where's My Stage, I believe it's called. Mm-hmm. So, and then the very next day, I'm going to be on the program that Gary was on, the Leak Project Network, and then I'm kind of taking a little bit of a break until September, right around the middle, and as you do so many radio shows, you do your own, and then you're on all other ones, then you're trying to also juggle life, but we've got some coming up, and some later coming up as well, so we'll definitely keep everybody up to date, I'll plaster it out there like I always do with everything else, so.
Cool. Cool, yeah, and I got a podcast coming up, I think August 4th, too, or August 6th. I'm doing, it's going to be just Bigfoot research, that's it. So I'll post it up, you know, if you want to hear my mouth and my nonstop talking about a lot of new research. I am bringing some new stuff to the table. I've been slowly telling you guys what's been going on, and I've been very quiet about a lot of things, even though I talk a lot. Certain things I don't talk about. So, I'll get that up. I'm starting to bring some new subjects to the table. So, all right, Footer Nation. Well, it's been real. I hope you're enjoying these live casts. This is brand new. It's our second one. I think it went really well. And, okay, you got to see a Savannah monitor. How awesome is that? That's so cool.
Not everybody gets to.
No, but all right. Well, Kenny, until next week, have a good week, my brother.
Yeah, you as well. Thanks so much.
All right. And Footer Nation, as always, keep it squatchy, and we'll see you out on the trail. Deuces.
Hey, my arm's about to fall off. she is one big piece of meat, man.
Awesome.
Look at that body.
Thank you for listening to the NYBS Radio Show. Tune in next time as we continue our search for Bigfoot right here in the great state of New York. Until next time, friends, keep it squatchy, and we'll see you out on the trail.
I was trying to look at it and see everything, so it was crazy.
Awesome. Yeah, man. Good show, man. I was supposed to meet with both of them.